WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome to Monday Night Talk. We're not in the studio. We are actually live on location from the Kingston Senior Center, the Kingston Council on Aging, 30 Evergreen Street in, yes, you guessed it, Kingston. My name is Kevin Tachi, and we have a great show planned for you. The hope is that we can get some folks to come down. I know a lot of people are kind of worried because we might have some nasty weather, and nor'easters barreling down on the area. The Commonwealth, but if you have a chance, if you happen to be out and about, come on down to 30 Evergreen Street and join myself as well as my special co-host this evening. She is none other than Tammy Murray. She is the Director of Elder Affairs for the Kingston on Aging. None other. Welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you. Thanks for coming back again. We're excited that you're here.
And now, who's next to you? Do you want to introduce Marilyn?
I have Marilyn Greenstein here with me. She is an outreach coordinator and marketing director here at the center.
Hi.
How are you, Marilyn? Now, Marilyn is going to, from time to time, she'll join the conversation. Not that this is a hostage taking or anything, but Marilyn has a lot of information and knowledge as to what goes on here, and I think she's a key component to a lot of things that you do here, Tammy. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. She helped me to get our business up enough that we'd be open in evenings, which has been huge for me because I'm doing an internship right now as I finish up my degree. Mm-hmm. So it's been great that she's been here and been able to do these things for us.
And I mentioned the anchor. The anchor happens to be the COA's newsletter. It's the monthly newsletter, and of course, the newsletter is something that's put out and kind of gives a rundown of some of the great things that happen here at the Council on Aging. And Marilyn, it has you listed here, third down from the director. It has you listed as the volunteer coordinator marketing.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not the volunteer coordinator anymore.
Oh, well, somebody should update this.
Gretchen Emmons does that. It should be updated. You know, could I just say that if people feel like leaving the house and coming over, Marianne Leone's going to be here later.
She, well, and I was going to get to that. The other thing that I was going to use as a draw, besides coming and meeting Marianne, because Marianne is actually going to be part of an author series. It's yet to have been scheduled, but we're talking when it's warmer weather, drier weather, but Marianne will be here to talk a little bit about her new book. But we get to get a little bit more insight into Marianne. And this is going to be kind of a common thread throughout the program, as you'll hear tonight as Tammy and I are talking. Actually, Tammy will be the lead conversation. And it kind of connect the dots since the last time we were here back in late 2015. And we did the show from here, and it was a great program. The idea is just to kind of find out what's going on. Let folks know what a Council on Aging is about, and maybe dispel some of the myths. A lot of people sometimes kind of get an idea. They think it's one thing, and maybe it's not. There's a lot more going on here at the Council on Aging than what most folks may think. We have State Senator Vinny DiMacedo is scheduled, planning to come and join us. We were going to have kind of, we're going to try to keep it fair and balanced. We didn't want to invite one party without the other. Tom Coulter, who was actually here the last time, he was scheduled to come, but he is under the weather, and he actually has sent along his regret that he could not be here this time around. But we hope that he gets better. Again, he's under the weather. So we're expecting the State Senator, Vinny DiMacedo, to be here, and we could talk with him about, again, the idea to speak with a legislator, get an idea as to all these things that he's working on. They just started a new legislative session, but then also kind of get an idea as to what their feeling is and some of the things that they may hear from some of their older constituents, some of the folks in the district, and again, connect the common thread about the Council on Aging and senior centers funding. As well, we're going to have a little bit of a round table, and we have a NOAA director, Susan Curtin, and somebody that, Tammy, you did a nice segment a couple of months ago with the Pembroke director in a series. So I'm looking forward to that. What are some of the things that we're going to talk about during that segment?
Probably the growth of Councils on Aging in general, funding, where our funding comes from, different challenges that we have, successes that we've had. We all kind of excel at one thing or another. So it's interesting to get us all together and hear what works for one center, may not work for somebody else. You know, you might come to bingo here, but you might go to a memory class in Pembroke. You know, so it's ways that we can all work together at the same goal and share all of our resources.
And again, we are going to also speak with author and actress Marianne Leone. Now, am I incorrect? Maybe you should wait until she gets here. Should I call her Marianne Leone or Marianne Leone Cooper?
I think Marianne Leone's fine. Sometimes she does add Cooper, but we know her as Marianne Leone.
Okay. mean you do?
Yeah.
No. I mean, a lot of people do that. So I think it's fine.
All right. Just want to make sure. I want to be proper. And again, we invite folks to come on down. We do still have some chairs available. And I believe, don't tell anybody, but I believe there's going to be hot chocolate. Is that true?
There is hot chocolate. Yes.
Really?
Yep.
With or without the little marshmallows?
No little marshmallows.
We already got thumbs up in the audience, which is good. Which is good. And it was no ordinary thumbs up either. I'll leave it right there, but it was good. We've kind of given folks a little bit of a heads up as to what the contents of tonight's Monday Night Talk will be about. And again, we sometimes are fondly called Monday Night Live because we sometimes go places live. And so feel free to call us that as well. But Monday Night Talk here with Kevin Tocci and Tammy Murray. And what's your name at the end there?
Marilyn Greenstein.
That's right, I knew that. And so let's kind of have a little bit of a conversation with you. How are things here at the Council on Aging? And tell us, what has changed since the last time we were here? Was it November of 2015?
I couldn't remember. I was looking at the picture to try and figure out my hair color to decide when it happened, but what? I still couldn't place the date properly.
Okay. Do you kind of go with it depending on the time of year?
Yeah,
do you
change it
different
all the time.
Shades? In August, it might be some kind of a greenish tint or something?
drastic, but okay, it does change. So I'm going to say it was in the fall. But a lot has changed, actually. We've gotten really, really busy in a lot of ways. And before I even get into that, I really do have to thank the staff and the volunteers. So Dottie Neal, Marilyn Greenstein, Gretchen Emmett, all of our volunteers and board members, because I've been doing an internship as well since September. So I'm here 3 nights and 2 days. So they've been kind of running the ship in the direction that I want to go, unsupervised, basically. The town has graciously awarded me with an assistant position, which we're going to be opening soon, but over this period of time, they've really been helping me through this. So one of the things that you mentioned, and I'll just jump into really quick, is how people think of Councils on Aging and what they are. And I've been doing an internship with Visiting Angels out of Marshfield. I hope I can say that.
And, you just did.
I did, didn't I?
You just did.
And one of the things that I run into as I go into people's homes and talk with them is that they don't come to councils on aging. And when asked why, it could be because one or the other may have a disability that they think wouldn't be accepted. I was working with a woman who was deaf, and she was afraid to come in because she wasn't sure how she'd be received. Some people will call them clicky. Some people think it's all old people. And some of those things may or may not always be true, but what we do is we try to make it welcoming for everyone. So I would like to get the message out to adult children or the seniors that we talk to or aren't getting in our doors, is that there is so much that goes on here. Some of the new things that we have that are huge and exciting is a multi-generational program that we're running with our Kingston Rec Department and the Public Library, and we also partner with the Adams Center trustees. And we're going to be doing a trip to the Museum of Science that's open to children and their parents, grandparents, guardians, aunts, uncles. Mm-hmm. We have I can't remember the exact name. Wait a minute. It's Pizingo. It's Pizza Bingo we're having here during February vacation. So we have opportunities for kids.
Doesn't that get the cards all messy?
Yeah. I'm guessing it's going to, but that's the fun in it.
Oh, okay. No, they're made out of pizza. You have to eat them.
Okay, we have a custodian.
Okay. What exactly is Pizingo?
It's bingo with pizza. We're going to be eating pizza and playing bingo.
So you have to place your pepperonis appropriately. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Okay.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
But those are great opportunities to get the older people around the younger people.
How often do you find yourself having conversations with folks of other COAs to kind of find out some of the stuff that they're doing, that they're trying, new programs, things to help the quality of life of the folks in this community? What are some of the things that you've come across since the last time we were here?
We go back and forth as directors a lot, sharing information. One of the things that we reached out to Pembroke for was information on their Memory Cafe. Memory Cafe is it's a popular term right now, and it's for people who take care of people with Alzheimer's or dementia. And there's different criteria that you have to meet to actually be a memory cafe. So that's something that Pembroke's doing right now that we reached out to. We're going to be reaching out to Plymouth more because, as a lot of people know, Connie retired after many years of service, and Jennifer Young took over as the director there. So there are going to be some changes over there that will try and gauge how they're doing, or maybe partner with them, you know, and give people more opportunities to do more things.
Okay. Again, looking at the COA's newsletter, The Anchor, I see something about a new lifelong learning series. What's that all about?
I'm going to let Marilyn talk on this one because she's driving this baby.
Okay. Well, it actually started last week, but we're at the very beginning of the series, right?
Well, lifelong learning began almost a couple of years ago when I got here. And it's only recent that it's really been growing. We started with the author series. But the goal here is to enhance lifelong learning and health and fitness and combine them sometime. They get integrated. So the author series, which started almost 2 years ago, starts March 9th. And I must say, we have Nathaniel Filbert coming, author, historian. And we also have, Dave Wedge, right? Dave Wedge is...
We're going to back the truck up a little bit here. Because I think you've kind of jumped in, you've jumped into another series. I'm talking about this is a History Matters. It's a five-part.
Yeah. So we have authors. Then we just started this year. Okay. Lifelong Learn the History series.
Because I didn't see any. You mentioned Dave Wedge. Actually, Dave Wedge, a good friend of the program, mm-hmm. who I've spoke with. I think last time we were here, you had Casey Sherman,
right.
Who is a Marshfield resident, right. Also known right. for. The movie Patriots Day, based on the Boston Strong book.
Well, in case they don't know who Dave Wedge is, he co-wrote Boston Strong.
Yeah, yeah.
But moving right along.
Yeah, yeah.
So the History Series is a partnership between Kingston COA and Plymouth 400. And it comes at a perfect time because Plymouth 400 is gearing up for the 2020 celebration.
Yes.
So we already had... the first event, which was on Back Roads of the South Shore, and we'll do it again coming up this Wednesday, the 25th. But we're carrying the series throughout, and it really is a lifelong learning experience. So we want people to get used to that, and we're going to be doing a lot more related to topics that we think will be interesting to people.
Yeah, the district back roads of the South Shore, find out about new nooks and crannies in your own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very intriguing.
It was really interesting.
It really was.
But wait, there's more, because this Wednesday,
we had almost 70 people here last week.
Really?
So this Wednesday, they're going to be talking.
Was this with or without the hot chocolate?
It was with food.
Cookies.
If you had the cookies, we might have, you know. But again, people starting to file in and come in, and those who are coming in, thank you very much for joining us here live on Monday Night Talk, as we are live from the Kingston Council on Aging, also the Senior Center here at 30 Evergreen Street in Kingston. Again, plenty of chairs, plenty of hot chocolate from what I understand. There's no cookies, though. But
no cookies, I'm
but
sorry.
If you want to stop by on the way, stop and shop, grab some cookies, you can do that.
So just to backtrack a little bit.
Please do so, yes.
With the lifelong learning, it has to do with every day we can learn something new. So even when we say to someone, hey, come to Zumba class, or hey, come to yoga, why? Mm. Well, here's some, you know, factual reasons. Let's educate people on what is the benefits of each of them.
Sure.
You know, like our TOPS program and weight loss. I mean, our TOPS group has hit a milestone. They've lost over 142 pounds.
What is TOPS? Is that an acronym for something?
It is, but it is a weight loss program.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea what TOPS actually stands for. Thanks for asking.
It's
one of those inquisitive things that I.
It's a leader in the weight loss business.
Take off pounds sensibly. Thank you.
Thank you, audience member. Take off pounds sensibly. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that, Marilyn?
No,
they're a national organization.
Not my invention at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're here.
They meet on Monday nights. They're more of a support group for each other. And like I said, they just had an article done on them. It should be in the paper soon that they lost over 142 pounds collectively in a year. And
folks, I just want to know, I want you to also acknowledge how good Tammy is on the microphone. It must be all that work she's doing down at PAC TV on her show, Young at Heart.
Yeah, I actually, the newest show we just had, I got an email from PAC TV congratulating me because it's had the most views of any of my shows, which has been amazing. It was a show with Bob Heath, the fire chief, on safety. And again, we spoke about elders at risk, how you can get involved ahead of time. And that's actually something that we're going to be working on as a town. First responders, the Board of Health, myself, we're all getting together to see how we can get in front of these crises before they happen. So before we're pulling somebody out of their house, what can we do? Do we go, you know, we find out that maybe they lost a husband. Do we go and have tea with the woman? You know, she's been with this man for 60 years. She doesn't know what to do. Before it turns into depression or a hoarding situation, things like that. So that's a huge new initiative that we're going to be embarking on over the next year, and one that I'm really, really passionate about. So my latest show was about that. Thanks for bringing that up.
Okay. What's right here in the anchor?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I knew. It's right here in the anchor. Hosted by Tammy. It doesn't have your last name, but it's just hosted by
well,
Tammy.
Well, you know, it's like Cher or Madonna. Tammy.
Okay. All right, we'll just keep that in. We'll keep that in mind. PAC TV. Now, does that play? Is that in Plymouth? PAC TV, of course, serving four communities. So folks in Kingston can see it on channel 14 and 41. Is that correct?
That's correct. And they can see it on PACTV.org anywhere.
Okay.
And there's YouTube videos as well.
Okay. And you had talked about a bit this being this latest episode that you did with the fire chief and the initiatives. Having the new assistant director, how will that help you as far as bring forth some of the ideas that you have and some of the ways to better enhance what happens here at the COA?
That'll be twofold. Actually, it's going to free up some funding for an outreach person. We don't have an outreach person right now. I'm hoping to get a part-time outreach person. And the other thing is that it'll free up some of my time. So my degree that I'm getting is in social work, so I'll be able to go and assess people and help on that end before we have to call in OCES or something like that. So with the free time of having someone here, it'll be really helpful.
What is SHINE? That's another thing that I also noticed in your newsletter.
It is...
It's an acronym.
Help me out
there. Actually,
yeah,
I hate acronyms.
Those are my fellow directors over there.
Are they the next segment? Okay.
Yes, serving health insurance needs of everyone.
Okay.
Yes, and actually, we just had a major loss here. Anna Kelly, who has been our SHINE coordinator, who is wonderful, has had to take a leave. So we're actually looking for a new SHINE coordinator or someone to go through the training. The training is about 6 weeks long, I believe, for a SHINE coordinator. So it's also a volunteer position at this point. So we're looking, but Anna is going to be a huge loss.
Okay.
She did a great job.
No, I just, again, learning so many different things just by looking at the monthly newsletter. Well done, Marilyn.
And it's still a work in progress. We've been trying to change it every month without changing it too much. But we have a lot to say in a small space to say it in.
I see you have the director's corner. I mean, what are some of the nuggets that you share with folks when it comes your time to kind of connect with the folks that come here?
It depends.
To the senior center.
Yeah, it depends on my mood or the time of year. The last one I did, January, that you're looking at, we had actually found a bag of old magazine and newspaper articles.
Okay.
So I was going through them, and in many of the articles, they had names of directors past.
Oh.
So I felt that it would be pretty cool to list all the people that have been actually termed a director here. Including me.
Yeah, I saw you put that there.
But I also thought it was funny. There was a Mary E. Murray who was a director. I forget the time frame that she was. And I laughed because I'm not related to her, but that was my grandmother's name. So it's just interesting little things that I feel like writing about.
Okay. I'm getting a signal from Marilyn. Marilyn actually wants to chime in. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, before we end this segment, first of all, I want to thank the Kingston Reporter for covering this Council on Aging and making it well known in the paper about what we do, reaching out to people. And I just wanted to backtrack a little about lifelong learning and health and fitness, if I could. That one of the things that I'm hoping to do here, and I think we all are actually, is to have enough fitness classes that people can go pick the days of the week and come and go. It doesn't, we're not a gym, but I want them to think about this place as like similar to a gym. So what are the classes this week? I'll attend them all, and they'll all be interrelated. And the most recent one is Shake Your Soul. It's a fabulous class. It's sort of stretching, relaxation, music. And it was donated to us at the beginning from the South Shore Conservatory.
Excellent.
In Duxbury. And they're going to do it again. But right now we have five classes going on. And it's part of the new contemporary phase of fitness. And we want to go with that more.
Anything that we haven't mentioned in regards to some of the things, the new initiatives, the things that you got going on, programs? I just want to kind of just remind folks who are listening, especially here in the Kingston area, if you know they're looking for, you know, exercise or certain things, like I know tax time is around the corner. You probably have some for that.
Today we started offering haircuts. So we have a hairdresser coming in every 6 weeks, and she's doing wet cuts. I guess there were four people today, and they were really excited about their haircuts. So it's something that people have been looking for a while. And then just on a fun side, our Zumba class, we have the best Zumba instructor. It's Debbie Rafferty, and she does three classes a week here. And they actually organized a flash mob with Macy's in the month of December in the mall. And it was
awesome. You mean
awesome.
The one that's sticking around in the office in Massachusetts.
Around, yep.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't get to attend because we had an author here that night, but I saw a video, and it was amazing to see all those women ages 30 to, like, 80 doing the same Zumba workout in the middle of the mall.
Really?
Yeah. So we try to do things that are different and fun.
Marilyn?
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that the senior center has changed. And we held a lot of events here and activities. It's not just for seniors. You can come to the senior center to an author lecture or history or anything, no matter how old you are. And it's also not just a place to have lunch and play bingo. You can do that anytime you want. But it's much more than that. It's more like a community center.
Well said. Very well said. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to step aside for just a couple of moments. I swear, but remember, we're live. Come on down. Joining us in just a couple of moments is your state senator, Vinny DiMacedo, right here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Peter, it was always Tiny's intention to have a Tiny and Sons business.
That's true, that's true. We always worked well together, but my mom had a lot to do with it. I think she wanted us out of the house. She really needed her peace and quiet.
Five kids, you really can't blame her.
Tiny taught us how to get along and work together. And most important, Mother knows best.
Did you learn anything about windshields?
That too, but you really get used to doing a good job. You know Tiny's gonna check it out.
My boys do a good job.
My dad did a great job. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
To Monday Night Talk here at the Kingston Council on Aging. We are live and we have plenty of hot chocolate with a little marshmallows. Courtesy of the fine folks here. Come on down, 30 Evergreen Street, the Council on Aging, the Senior Center. Joining us for this segment is, it was supposed to be two legislators. And they wanted to make sure that it was fair and balanced, and I had a Democrat, and I had, actually, I wanted to have a state rep, and I wanted to have a state senator. Unfortunately, Rep Coulter, he is not feeling well, and he sends his regrets as he was here last time and is unable to make it, but we have State Senator Vinny DiMacedo is here live and in person. He's actually more excited to talk a little bit about the New England Patriots victory at this particular time.
You got that right. Thank you very much.
But
of course, I'm a little tired, though, because I stayed up later and watched all the commentary after.
Yeah,
it's always nice to see the national media having to acknowledge the how well the Patriots have done.
That is good, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And before we close up the segment, I'll have to have you give a little bit of a prediction as to how you think the Super Bowl is going to go.
Well, I'll do my best there, but of course I'm a little biased.
Okay, why, are you a Falcons fan?
No.
Just checking.
Yeah.
But no, it's great to have you here, and we welcome you, and congratulations on a new term. I know the legislative session just kicked off just a couple of weeks. A little less than 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, about two and a half, three weeks.
Back at it. What's it like? How's it been? I mean, is it kind of slow getting up and rolling or what?
It tends to be somewhat slow because what happens is in a new legislative session, you have new members in the House, new members in the Senate. There are committees. Those committees need to be formed. The leadership needs to pick the chair people. Mm-hmm. From there, they appoint members. And so when we really start to kick off is when you have those hearings and you're starting to hear the different bills, and the bills just got filed. So we actually, on the 20th, Friday, at 5 p.m., was the deadline for filing all your bills. So now you have the bills in place that have to go to specific committees. The clerk is scurrying around trying to make sure, well, this bill has to do with the environment, this has to do with the Committee on Revenue, this has to do with the Committee on Ways and Means. So it kind of goes through that process. So that takes a little while. So we're kind of getting rolling, but this, like anything, we're kind of into it in large part because revenues are still not doing as good as the economy is. 2.8% unemployment in Massachusetts. Mm. Virtually full employment at 2.8%. And yet the money coming in has not really kind of kept up with the projection in growth, which is about 3.5%.
But this typically, depending on what you get in monthly and how it's calculated and tabulated, this is kind of an ebb and a flow, because there are times that there might be more revenue that is generated than is expected. There are times that whatever is speculated, it might be lower than that.
Absolutely, and of course that's why you deal with averages. And so right now, going into the end of December, we were about $29 million below what was a benchmark for the entire year. So if you think about it, it's not too far off, all that, you know, $29 million. But the problem is that in a legislative session, we have the budget, but then we have what they call supplemental budgets. Those are the CPC, legal services for those people, indigents, that can't support legal service for themselves. That always runs in the deficit because we don't necessarily know how much it's going to be. The sheriff's departments tend to get supplemental budgets. And, of course, you know, healthcare. We just don't know how many people are going to show up in mass health. And so those are supplemental budgets. So when you take that $29 million and you know you have these supplemental budgets, you get a little bit concerned. And that's why you saw the governor not too long ago make what they call 9C cuts. Constitutionally, the reason they call it 9C is because it's in the Constitution, where Article 9C is that if you do not have enough, you know, revenue, then the governor has to
make cuts.
And so that's where we're at right now. So that's causing a little bit of tension, as you can imagine.
I have to ask, I mean, we're here in this great council on aging here in Kingston. And you know, the population, especially the elderly population, depends on organizations like this. Where does the annual budget, when you guys sit down and you take a look at it, of course, we know the governor's budget is pending. How often do you hear from your constituents who say that they want to make sure that there's enough funding for an organization like a senior center or taking care of the senior population?
Well, it is a big deal. Every year we'll hear the argument these senior centers, the population, as we know, is continuing to get older, and that's a good thing. That being said, they're providing for more services. We're seeing these council on agings, all over, that, when I was a kid growing up, there weren't as many, they weren't clearly as active, but they've become such vibrant centers for the elderly population, for people to come and be active in their community and see people and have services for them. So we're seeing more. Now the battle is how do you fund them? And so every year this happens to come up, and the administration will put in a number. I think it's like $9 per person. We'll always try to fight, get up to $10 a person. When you add that up, it makes it doable for these agencies. And I think, as far as the legislature, we've been pretty responsive as far as the Council on Aging. There's always more money, and you want more money. The challenge is that, as I go back to that I share, is mass health, which is 40% of the budget. That's the healthcare. 28%, which is basically the healthcare that we give to people who can't afford healthcare. 28% of the population now is on mass health. And so when you see that number, and so big, it ends up, the growth of that ends up eating up every other important line item in the budget.
Any concerns? You're talking about the health care. We know that we have a new president sworn in on Friday. The talk is that the Congress and Senate, they're already at work dismantling the Affordable Care Act. What does that spell for the Commonwealth? Yourself being a lawmaker, I mean, what are you watching? What are your colleagues in the Senate watching for in regards to what's happening down in D.C. and how that's going to affect us here?
We're watching it very closely. And first, let me say, the Affordable Care Act, with all due respect, hasn't been affordable. It's been very expensive. It's done a lot of things. It's dealt with the growth side, which is bringing everybody on, but it never dealt with the cost side, because the cost side is the toughest side to deal with. Nobody wants to deal with the capping costs and the like, and so that's the challenge. Of course, in Massachusetts, well, we were the first really in the nation to do this universal health care, that everyone would get health care. 97% of our population has health care. We got waivers. Those waivers, to the tune of $400, $500, $600 million that we would get. So as a greater percentage of what MassHealth would give out, I mean, that the state federal aid would give to Massachusetts, they did that to encourage us to stay along this path. And we were the first. And so our concern, as you can imagine, is that, you know, I'm not happy with the Affordable Care Act in the sense that it's become very expensive. I was talking to a pretty significant business owner in this region in the last 4 years, has seen his health insurance that he provides to his employees go up 200%.
Wow.
Now that's just like, wow, you know, so there's, you know, there lies a legitimate concern that they're there. However, putting on my legislator hat, Committee on Ways and Means, my concern is how they change that model. What does that mean for Massachusetts? Do they get rid of that waiver? If they get rid of that waiver, then we have to assess how we're delivering healthcare as well. And those are all difficult decisions to make. So we'll see how it plays out, but it looks like it's happening. You know, you have a Republican-controlled House and Senate, and you've got a president who ran on this message. So my sense is you're going to see some changes. How that plays out for Massachusetts, and I'll just give you my opinion. As I've always been mindful in politics that you got to work with both sides, and you know, I think you know that I've always tried to do this. Mm-hmm. I get the people being frustrated or upset, maybe, you know, as a Democrat with the president. But you have to be mindful of the fact that you still have to work together. You still have to represent Massachusetts. I suggest, and I know this is difficult because there's frustration, but you have to keep that hat on of the fact that we still have to keep an open door because we are going to deal with the administration. It'd be like me as, you know, as a, you know, the head of, you know, the, I'm sorry, the elected official from the Plymouth and Barnstable District, you know, previous administration wasn't my same party, but I was always mindful of how I said things because I realized that I have to advocate for my community regardless, and I have to have a, you know, I have to be mindful of that relationship, not to say things that will totally
upset somebody.
Well, right. Totally cut off a relationship because right. when you burn a bridge, it's hard to, you know, rebuild.
To rebuild
it.
Could be costly, so to speak. And again, we're speaking with the state senator, Vinny DiMaceto. He's our guest as we are live from the Kingston Council on Aging. We are inviting you to come on down and be a part of it if you want to brave the weather. Last I knew it isn't. It is not raining. We do have hot chocolate. Shh. Come on down. Bring a friend. Pull up a chair as we got a great conversation, of course.
The line's out the door with this hot chocolate. You got to be careful.
Yeah, I know. But there's no cookies. But looking at the new administration, and not to keep things down in D.C., I mean, there's word that already there's something in the works to get us out of some trade agreements. Again, are you watching? Here we are. We're day three of the new president. And
it's hard not to be watching. Of course, the solace of being able to, you know, sit there and watch a football game and just focus on that. Yesterday was wonderful, and that's all we heard of. And I think this morning as well, a lot of us were fixated on talk radio, listening, sports radio. But it's hard not to, you know, to pay attention. This was a divisive election. And you saw over the weekend, there are people that are very concerned about.
We saw marches. We saw thousands of people marching in not only in D.C., but they were down in larger cities like Los Angeles, I believe. I believe they were in Boston, you name it. And they were even in some other countries, from what I understand, and that people are so worked up over this election and this person taking office.
Yeah, and it is, and it's challenging depending on your politics. But my experience is, you know, you have different philosophical ideas, but we're all still Americans. We've got to understand that, and we've got to work together. You know, I'd like to think that, you know, the last 8 years, you had a Democratic governor. I'm a Republican. President, and I, you know, you work with them. And same thing with the Republican governor, Democrat. You can see, like in Massachusetts, we work together. So this division is not a good thing for the country. I understand you have to stand up for what you believe in, and that's fine. But just be careful of some of the the things that you say, and listen, on both sides, I'm not you know, casting, but we have to start to work to come together as a country for the good of the country, and so that's my hope. I know it's difficult. I know there's a lot of difficult things said and done, which I'm not certainly excited about. I try to be measured in what you say, because, you know, once the words are out there, they're hard to take back. Yep. And I'm, but you know what, at the end of the day...
Well, unless you're on social media, then you could just delete and hope nobody else can
find
you.
That doesn't happen, though, as you know. This social media, you know, for many people, and, you know, we just took a picture, you know, just before we started, and it's great because I can show all the people that follow me that I was here, we were talking.
I saw the line at the door for that chocolate.
Yeah, exactly right. But at the same token, it can get people in a lot of trouble as well, as you've seen. And so you have to be mindful of that. And it's just those quick things that you say in 140 characters can, you know, you can sometimes get lost in context. You really have to be careful on how and what you say. That's my personal opinion. Clearly, the president, you know, sees things differently, as does our U.S. senator. And so this war of words continues to escalate, which is, you know, not the way I would do it, but you know what? Here we are.
Yeah. I'm being rude here. Tammy, is there anything that you want to kind of put forth as part of the conversation here with the senator?
Mainly, it's more of a thank you, because I've worked with you for a few years now and with the other representatives, and you guys are always fighting for the Councils on Aging. When we have our annual breakfast, you're always so receptive about what we're trying to do. So I just thank you.
Well, you know, Tammy, we really do appreciate what you do. It's a big deal. I mean, I look it around and I go to Plymouth and the Kingston, and you look around at these Council on Aging's everywhere in Pembroke, and they're so vibrant and things are happening. And it's wonderful as far as services to our very inexpensive services to the, you know, the people who are over 60 in our communities, and it just makes sense. You provide a place for services, a place to socialize, and, you know, to get help. And that's why we're again, it's not a partisan issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all, you know, we have, in my case, have older parents that have relied on these Council on Aging, have really been a resource. And so we want to do the best. As you know, we know in Kingston, they have a real commitment to this Council on Aging. In Plymouth, you see it. In Pembroke, you see it. These communities really care about their Council on Aging, because they provide a valuable service. And so that's why we're always trying to do the best we can. And it's, you know, frankly, you as well know as well as I do, it's never enough. But under the fiscal challenges that we face, we do the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Anything that you had a chance to file in the past few days that we might hear you discussing, or that we might hear you on the floor talking about, or putting forth an effort to get folks to support? Anything that you're working on right now?
Well, again, you know, these, you know, things change all the time. I think the big issue, I'll be honest with you, this year that is going to kind of probably take the most time over the next 4 or 5 months is the issue of this legalization of marijuana.
Yep.
And, you know, retail establishments and the grow facilities and all of the details. It's a 24-page piece of legislation that was passed. Now, I'm sure you've heard that there are people that are concerned about the way it was written. That's gonna take up a lot of time, because we have to get that right. It's done. The people have spoken. We understand. I'll be fair. I didn't think it was a good idea. I still don't think it's a good idea. But I have to respect the will of the people. That doesn't mean I have to turn a blind eye to public safety, right, which I think is legitimate. You know, is a legitimate concern that you hear from, even in states where it's there, that, you know, the whole idea of driving under the influence and how do you address that? And, you know, in Washington, they talk about a great model. In Washington, there are no home grows. They don't allow for home grows. In Massachusetts, there were 12 pot plants in your home. So those are the things that we're going to have to work on. And I think it's going to take a lot of effort and time till we get it done, get it right, and get it behind us. And then right from there, we're going to go right into the budget, which is another issue that is, you know, going to take a lot of time because of the revenue piece. You know, it's weird, but this whole internet has been great. It's wonderful. But it has clearly affected the sales tax aspect. So we haven't really seen an increase in sales tax, which has kind of been stagnant. Everyone saw the stock market was kind of down for quite a while. We saw a late bump. We may see that effect in January for what happened, you know, last year. But we just haven't seen, you know, things have been kind of stagnant per se. And that, you know, is going to require us to make some pretty tough decisions going in because, as I shared with you earlier, MassHealth's still growing. And it's 28% of the population is now on MassHealth. And that's, you know, it's wonderful. People are getting health care. But it can be a budget buster.
Senator, we want to thank you for coming here, joining us this evening at the Council, Kingston Council on Aging, as I promised. This is your opportunity to play Sports Nostradamus here. What 2 weeks from as of yesterday, what is the final score going to be between the Patriots and the Falcons?
You know, people think this is going to be an incredibly high-scoring game. I don't think it's necessarily going to be high-scoring. I think they've got two pretty powerful.
Over/under is 58.
I think it's going to be under 58. Okay. You know, if I was a betting man, I'm going to say it's going to be 24-16. And it's and I believe it's going to be the Patriots. I really think that. Belichick and Brady are the two, in my personal opinion, the two greatest, you know, combos I've ever seen.
Yep.
What Belichick does with, frankly, just kind of run-of-the-mill people, just amazing. It's just really amazing. A lot of them, of course, Brady, we know, is the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game.
Three best words ever said, do your job.
You got it.
Do your job. Senator, thank you very much for joining us here at the Kingston Council on Aging. Folks, we're not going anywhere yet. We still got another hour of program. Come on down. Free hot chocolate, Marianne Leone. Also, we have folks from Noel and Pembroke as Susan Curtin and Anna Seary. Is going to be here in the next segment. You're listening to Monday Night Talk right here at 95.9 WATD.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Think like a spicy champion, act like a spicy champion, talk like a spicy champion, and then eat like one with Big Poppy Spicy Salsa. Then you'll be a champion. Then celebrate your championship with Big Poppy Spicy Cigar. Sold exclusively on the South Shore and South Coast at none other than Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and coming soon to Pope's Island, New Bedford. Trust me, the salsa is good, dudes.
Spicy.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, live from the Kingston Council on Aging. If you don't know where it is, it's 30 Evergreen Street, and we have plenty of room still. Would you like to introduce these two ladies? Because part of the co-hosting duties for Tammy this week was to kind of help come up with some ideas for some of the folks who are going to be part of the program. And you picked these two special ladies. Why?
I did. I picked Anna Seary from Pembroke because we had been on a show together before. And I thought...
Wait. A radio show or a TV show?
I'm sorry. Radio.
Just wanted to check.
Were you on a TV show with me? No, she has her own TV show, actually.
On Pack TV?
Yes, she's also on Pack TV.
I am.
What's the name of your show?
Elder Savvy.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then with Susan, she is the new director for the town in Norwell. So I thought it would be great to have her here. She's worked there for many years, but she's just gotten that position. So I thought that would be pretty cool. And I will say there were a couple others that I invited that weren't able to make it, but they swear they will next time we do something like this.
Did you get them to sign an agreement in blood or something?
Almost.
Okay. All right. So I guess the idea of this little, it's not technically a round table, it's more of a rectangular table, but the idea of having this round table talk, air quotes, is to kind of get a better idea as to some of your colleagues and some of the other council on aging, what they're doing, what they're dealing with. I'm more than happy just to kind of step back and let you kind of do some of the conversation or taking turns as we sit here. And again, it's not so much an interrogation, but it's a conversation just so the folks get an idea as to what some of, you know, I'm sure you ladies had a chance to hear Tammy in her opening segment talk a little bit about what it is that they do here in Kingston, whether there's likenesses or similarities, if you're still getting your feet acclimated to where you are, or some of the things that you're looking to share when it comes to your particular senior center council on aging. If you will, let's first and foremost start a little bit about talk a little bit about your Council on Aging in Norwell, Susan, if you will.
Sure. So our Council on Aging, we have about 2,400 individuals in town who are 60 years and older. So we have a relatively active Council on Aging. We offer programs Monday through Friday. We offer a variety of lifelong learning, similar to other centers, wellness, health and wellness, congregate meals, special events, fun games, day trips. So, but we also, aside from that, I think one of the things that our Council on Aging, like many other senior centers, offers, we have a tremendous amount of outreach programming that we do. Being out in the community, working with elders, working with their families, trying to find services, the appropriate services for folks, whether it be housing, transportation, transitioning in life, so whether it's a death of a spouse or a parent moving in with an adult child, things of that nature.
Outreach seems to be kind of the ultimately important, though, and that is getting the word out about what it is that you do.
Absolutely.
What's the important element of the outreach? Is there an important element to it?
Well, I can't say there's any one in particular thing that's important about outreach. I think outreach as a whole is very significant, and we do it in a number of ways. And I wouldn't say that any one of those ways is any more important than the other.
Okay.
So we do different things to try and attract and target different groups of people in the community.
And we turn our attention to Anna Seri with Pembroke, and again, nice to have you back on the program.
Thank you.
As I was telling Tammy, I still remember the conversation that you and Tammy had in studio, and it probably could have went another half hour with some of the stuff that we were talking about. Talk a little bit about Pembroke's Council on Aging Senior Center and some of the things that you do, and maybe you can build on what Susan was talking about in regards to outreach.
And when I look at outreach, I really feel that education and intervention help support the residents in our community. You know, really aging in place or thriving in place, however you want to take that term and use it, is very important. However, when you look at the limited incomes that people have, they want to stay in their homes. In all of our communities, there's not a lot of step-down housing for people, the downsizing. So trying to figure out how do we successfully help people stay in their homes as long as possible. And I think that starts with just conversation building, and that's how I see outreach, earning the trust. It's not, it's very important what goes on in your building, but it's also very important what goes on in your community and figuring out who's out there. And how we can best support them.
With what you do when it comes to your individual, and Tammy, we can include you in on this, I would think when it comes to what you're doing with your particular Council on Aging, that you have a short-term plan, but then you also have a long-range plan, things that you want to hopefully benchmarks that you may put into place when it comes to the success and what you're able to achieve, correct? We'll start with Tammy.
Oh, you got me.
I did get you.
I think short-term plans are, for me, just to get a structure. We don't have a lot of structure in the outreach department here right now. We don't have one. Once I get my degree in a few months, then I'm going to look at who can I bring in to work with me to initiate what I want to do. So I know a couple of the Councils on Aging, like Duxbury, now have interns working there. And that was one of my goals when I started. It was like, I'm going to get my degree, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to get interns, and, work that way to get in front of the problems that we're seeing. There's been such an uptick in elders at risk, specifically, I don't know about their areas, but in my area, that if we could just get a little bit in front of the ball before it gets rolling. So that, for me, is a long-term goal. How I'll measure that, I'm not really sure yet. But That's what's most important to me right now, as well as taking care of the people that do come here and that have helped build the Council on Aging. But there's a lot of people out there that I call the unreachables, and I really, my passion is to reach the unreachables.
Anna?
I agree with what Tammy says. You know, and coming from a social work background, one of my biggest concerns is caregiver burden. We have folks in the community who are taking care of their spouses, and I often say to caregivers, you haven't just taken on one job, but you've taken on two. So, you know, if you look at a long-term marriage, each spouse had their role, and if one is suffering from dementia, the continuum of dementia, Alzheimer's disease, slowly they're not able to fulfill their role, so their care partner is fulfilling that duty, but also as the individual's needs become greater, there's the third job of taking care of the individual. So, you know, how do we figure out how to reach these caregivers and support them? As we've seen in a couple of the senior centers around us, Duxbury and Hanson, they both run adult day health programs. So from 9 to 3, the person who is suffering from memory loss or dementia or just needs, you know, more support around them has a place to go, which gives the caregiver at home time to get done what they need to do, errands and all of that, and kind of recharge themselves. And I think that we're going to see more and more of that as our Alzheimer's disease is burgeoning, as our baby boomers are getting older, and we need to focus on, you know, caregiver support.
Did you want to chime in on something?
No. Nope.
Or did you want to ask the next question? Or did you want to ask the next question or no?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Just checking. Well, you kind of hit upon something in regards to the increased population. I'll let you answer the question in a moment, Susan. But any thoughts in regards to, I mean, the baby boomer generation is thought to be one of the largest ones that are quickly getting to the age of retirement. I mean, do all of you feel ready for the number, the increase of folks that are going to be coming in looking to utilize your centers and some of the services and programs that you offer?
No.
Yeah, no.
In one word.
Okay. So, Susan, I'd give you a chance to answer the previous question, and that is the short-term and long-range plans for your particular Council on Aging. I mean, again, being new to it, I'm sure that you're still working on what your goals or what your benchmarks are going to be. Is that correct?
It is. So I've been in my position for 3 months now. As Tammy mentioned, I was in a program position prior to this, so at least I have some experience in our community and at the senior center. So some of the things that we're looking at initially this year is one, talking about marketing and having people understand who we are and what it is that we do. And that will help us. So we're looking at things like engaging with the Chamber of Commerce more, some of the local organizations, the women's club, the men's clubs, the boosters, just so that they can understand our role.
Well, welcome back. Sorry for that brief interruption. We apologize. Stuff happens. That's what happens when you're on location. You're on one moment, the next you're talking into an empty microphone. But we're still here at the Kingston Council on Aging. And I want to thank the ladies and the listeners for their patience. As we were kind of...
in the middle.
Anna was in the middle of answering, and you know, in my headset, I'm hearing music come up, which means that we're experiencing a technical difficulty, but we press on, and we're still talking a little bit about the Council on Aging. And I think the time that we went off the air and folks, they weren't picking us up at the station, that Anna was actually giving a description as to some of the things that, some of the programs, if you don't mind repeating, some of the, just a couple of the things
I've
that folks...
I've only gotten to one. Okay. I was talking about saying, the dull men's group.
Okay. But if you would, just kind of, again, give us a couple of different things that, that in fact, the folks seem to come to the center for and that are popular at this time.
Our health and wellness programs are fairly popular. We have Tai Chi, beginner Tai Chi. We have Zumba, chair yoga, line dancing. So there's a variety of fitness venues for all. We also partner with Long Pond Physical Therapy, and they come in once a month and do a balance class, which is a growing population are joining that too. And then we have our, you know, on health and wellness, everybody, we all have blood pressure clinics, flu clinics.
Are those well attended, I would think, yes?
Yes, yes. I think the flu clinics That's are not so much, as well attended anymore because all the CVS and all the other drugstores are also offering them.
So you can get them in August if
yes.
you wanted to.
Really?
Yeah. But they, you know, they're still offered, and you know, some people like coming to the senior center for that. Podiatry appointments. We have a lawyer that comes in for 15-minute sessions to, you know, kind of direct people in the right direction or answer some questions with them. And then, you know, with the arts. We have knitting and quilting and, you know, all kinds of trying to hit a late bloomers writing group, jewelry making, poetry and literature, you know, so to meet the arts section. And I think if maybe you didn't catch it before, my passion is caregiver support and dementia. So we offer a memory cafe, which meets on the third Wednesday of each month from 1 to 3. The memory cafe is a environment for caregivers to bring their loved ones. It's purely social, so it's that failure-free environment. We have either stimulating games or trivia. We have interactive entertainment or an interactive art program. Coffee, a chance for people to sit. And the goal is for caregivers to meet other caregivers.
And so again, that's at the Pembroke.
Pembroke Council on Aging.
Just so folks know, and again, that's Anna Seary, yeah. who was kind of describing some of those things. It Memory is. Cafe, that sounds like a something that I might have to check out one of these times.
Yeah, it's fun.
How about you, Susan? Anything in particular that you've noticed in your 3 months in your position that you've noticed that folks are flocking to certain activities or events?
Well, absolutely. So like Tammy and Anna, we have very similar programs as far as health and wellness. I think you'll see that at most councils on aging. There's a lot of overlap. But some of the things that we do that are different that we really have been very excited about is we've partnered with Social Conservatory, so we're offering a drumming program, which has been incredibly successful. We offer it once a month, a drum circle program. It's fabulous. And we've invited other participants from other communities to come and check it out to see if they like it and hopefully bring it into their centers as well. But that's been wonderful. We also, lifelong learning is one of the things that we're very interested in. We partnered with an organization called Senior Learning Network about 3 years ago, and they are a virtual lifelong learning outfit. And so what we do is they're a network that allows us to access the we've done programs with NASA, we've done programs with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we've
Fantastic.
Done programs with all of the national parks in Alaska. It's live and virtual, so similar to Skyping. So it's a nice complement to lifelong learning when you can't have somebody in your building physically. So that's been very successful.
What are you guys doing in regards to changing perception of what a Council on Aging is or what your center does? Talk to me about that. What are you doing to try to hopefully open up your centers for more of the community instead of folks who are on the older side?
Do you want me to answer that first?
I'm looking at you, yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Susan.
So marketing, so as I said, marketing is one of the things that we really are looking to do this year and have people understand, as Tammy said, we're beyond knitting and bingo and things like that. Not that those aren't important and activities that some people do enjoy, but we are so much more than that. So we actually have a slogan campaign going on right now, a contest that we're trying to get our seniors to come up with a tagline for us, and I have to say I cannot take credit for that. We stole that idea from the Weymouth Council on Aging, and they were very successful. So that will help us in branding. It will go on, once we have a slogan selected, it will go on all of our materials. It will go on mugs. It will everything.
Noel swag.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll have your own swag with a tag.
But the idea is for us to be reaching out into the community,
sure,
and having people understand why to come to us, what we can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And our hope is that by trying to target the adult children, that when it's time, when they start to age into our services, that they will be very comfortable coming to us. And that also it gives us an opportunity to target some folks as volunteers.
How about you, Anna?
Well, I want to steal the slogan thing, too.
It does sound like a really good idea, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's, trying to create an image for yourself, and I think that that's been very important. I've only been in my job for less than 2 years, so I really am trying to develop greater community presence.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to see the Chamber of Commerce, just letting them know what we can do for them. So, it's just trying to get out there, trying to use social media a little more.
Absolutely.
Trying to have articles in the paper about what we are offering and who we are, and just being a little more versatile.
Tammy?
I think people are sick of me.
No, they're not.
There was
this is your place.
Weeks,
this is your domain.
I know. But there were 3 weeks in, I think it was December or November, that we were on the front page of the Reporter. Sharing, like when you do a show with PAC TV or a local cable station, getting that out on Facebook and YouTube and doing your show. I mean, just getting the word out there that it's so true that we're here for the people that helped build us, but we're just so much more. I mean, it's almost like a tagline. Mm-hmm. We're so much more. Because, I mean,
keep
we do
that for yourself.
Yeah.
That sounds like
Should
a cool
I copyright
one.
That now?
Talk real quick.
Like, I mean, even that flash mob at the mall. I mean, that's
a fantastic idea.
It's a community
it's a
building,
great idea. Yep.
Eye-catching thing. Like, it's just amazing to me what we're able to do and how people perceive us. Like I said, I'm going into homes now and people are like 90 years old saying, oh, old people go there. And it's like, yeah, but we also have these fun things that we can do. It's not just...
Exactly.
And nobody here, very few have a walker. People tend to think of it as like a nursing home atmosphere, and it's
right.
just not.
We find that we have a lot of folks come in as volunteers, and once they come in as a volunteer and they understand what it is that we do, mm-hmm. they are more likely to come and participate in activities and programs and then bring their friends. And I think the other part of that, too, is intergenerational programming is so important for us in our community. We have a fabulous relationship with our high school, actually with all the schools, but especially the high school and the middle school. We do a lot of tech training, so we have the kids come in and do training on iPads and phones and whatnot, and that just builds community.
Mm-hmm.
And not only between the children and the seniors, but the parents start to understand what their kids are getting involved with. They start to begin to understand the challenges that seniors in our community face. So it's just a great community connection all around.
We had the State Senator Vinnie DiMacedo, who was here earlier enjoying some hot chocolate. And there is still hot chocolate, folks, if you want to come on down to 30 Evergreen Street, Kingston, the Council on Aging. We're privileged to have the folks from a couple of local Council on Agings, other than Tammy, who is here. But we also have Susan Curtin and Anna Seary, who are here, part of this conversation. Speaking with the senator, we did ask him in regards to funding, the importance of funding when it comes to the Council on Agings around the South Shore, around the Commonwealth. How are things for you guys when it comes to funding and being able to look at your budget and be able to stretch it? Is it a matter of that local lawmakers realize the importance of your centers and you getting appropriate funding, or do you find yourself where it's a challenge every time when it comes to funding a program or getting folks in to do something?
I would say for us, our budget, very similar to other communities, is relatively small. I think our budget is probably about 1% of the overall community budget. Mm. So we rely on grants. So we have to be very creative in researching and seeing what's out there. Senior centers in Massachusetts do have access to the formula grant each year, and it's based on your per capita, a certain dollar amount per capita.
Sure.
And we get to work with that. The problem with that is that it's based on 2010 census. So as the baby boomers are rolling into our numbers, it doesn't reflect the need that we have in the community. So it's working with other so like Cultural Council offers grant monies for us to run certain programs, partnerships with other organizations who might be willing to fund us. But I would say in our community overall, we have very good support with our lawmakers, with our town leaders. So we have a small budget, but we make it work. You have to be creative.
Do you agree, Anna?
Yes, I do. I think we also all have Friends Of, which is our nonprofit sector, and there are other grants that they can go after that we can't as municipal employees. Mm. So, you know, we're held to the formula grant. I have the Memory Cafe we have is funded through a grant through the Executive Office of Elder Affairs. I have a rehabilitation and music program that's been ongoing, and that is funded through Old Colony Elder Services and MCOA. So there are certain grants that we can go to. There is more money out there, and I know Tammy and I have had conversations about figuring out how to have a grant writing committee that's part of your friends group to, you know, figure out how we can find other funding besides just relying on our town or on the formula grant.
Sounds like quite the challenge.
It definitely
does. Unless you have a grant writer on staff, you have to network with other organizations and be able to figure out ways by talking with each other to, you know, to be able to get extra funding when it comes to programs.
I think the other part of it, too, is we're seeing a shift in the culture of Councils on Aging. So previously, it was very territorial, if you would. So your residents in your community only went to your Council on Aging. Mm-hmm. Those lines have blurred. So we see a lot of movement, people shifting from Council on Aging to Council on Aging, traveling with friends, whatnot. So it's an opportunity for us to partner together and adopt best practices, if you will. So if I'm offering a drumming program and the town next to me is interested but can't fund it, then come to my program. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, if they have a program that my folks would like to attend but I can't fund, allow my folks to come. So what we're seeing more and more of that collaboration.
Anything that we haven't touched upon, but you want to at least take a moment before we close out the segment?
Well, the Executive Office of Elder Affairs, their three most important items that they state is housing, transportation, and nutrition. And we touched on it a little bit, the transportation. All of us offer Meals on Wheels and congregate lunches. And, you know, the housing crisis is going to be big for our seniors in our community.
Okay, so before we go, if folks want to find out more about your individual Council on Aging, Anna, you have a website? Or do you have a Facebook page? How can folks find out more if they're just hearing about this now?
We have a Facebook page, Pembroke Council on Aging. Through our town website, we have a web page also with a lot of links for information, applications for senior cards or to volunteer. And they can call us directly.
Do you have a newsletter?
We do have a newsletter.
What's your newsletter called?
The Pembroke Pioneer.
Oh, okay. Susan?
You can reach us at townofnorwell.net, and we have a link with Council on Aging there. We also have the Norwell Council on Aging Facebook page. And yes, we have a newsletter.
What's it called?
It's called The Prime Times, and it's linked on our...
We should have a contest.
Yeah, we should. It's linked on our website, and we do post it on our Facebook page as well.
I will be interested, just to close things out, in what ends up being the tagline and what ends up being selected, because that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
And I'll take the second line that you reject, okay?
Right. And if I get a little Norwell Council on Aging swag, I'll be all over
that.
Definitely.
We'll make it
Ladies,
happen.
I want to thank you very much for joining the conversation.
Thanks.
And we'll have to make sure some of the folks that were promised to be here will be here next time.
I have
so
their
we'll,
names.
We'll do that.
Yep.
We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, the final segment. And joining us right now is author and actress. Now, is it Marianne Leone or Marianne Leone Cooper?
I'm only Marianne Leone Cooper when I'm Chris's wife.
Okay.
But professionally, I am Marianne Leone.
Okay. And we know Marianne not only for one, but two books, which we're going to talk a little bit about. Your second book, of course, first one is Jessie. Knowing Jessie, A Mother's Story of Grief, Grace, and Everyday Bliss. And your new book, which we're going to tease a little bit, mm-hmm. Ma Speaks Up.
Right.
Sounds interesting already. And we also know you as somebody who has been in front of the camera. Let's see, Sopranos, Goodfellas.
Well, they cut me out of good. I had three scenes with dialogue that Martin Scorsese cut.
Tootie's wife, right?
Tootie's wife. I'm in the credits.
Okay.
But, you know, I was in Joy last. You know,
right.
I was De Niro's ex-girlfriend there.
Three Stooges?
Three Stooges.
Three
right.
Stooges. Don't laugh. Three Stooges. That was a good movie.
And Clear History.
Yeah. So
right. Where I got to swear at Larry David and get paid for swearing at him. It was great.
That's not a bad thing. But also, you are a resident here in Kingston.
That's right.
Somebody who is, I hear that you are a fan of this Council on Aging.
Absolutely, because I take Tai Chi here on Thursdays with my two girlfriends that I've known since I was 8 years old. We call ourselves the Sea Hags. We swim together every day from April to, and we just maxed out November 3rd, okay? Bragging rights.
Wow.
At my Uncle Benny's beach. You know,
wow.
Right on the bay. And it was freezing. We did it for bragging rights. But we swim every day
wow.
in the summer. And we come here for Tai Chi every Thursday.
Well, talk to me. How important is a center like this for our community, no matter who you are?
No, it's fantastic. And, you know, we've made friends with the much older ladies in our class, and they're wonderful. I love talking to them. One lady is French and remembers the liberation of France. Yeah. She was a teenager when that happened. Another lady was a nurse and had 10 kids, and they're so much fun to talk to, and they're wonderful. We're the kids in the class. So, but it's great. But they're interested in what we are, you know, taking Tai Chi, and we have a wonderful instructor, Peter Tanuth. And we take Tai Chi at Hope Floats on Tuesdays with his wife, Fang. So,
what is it about Tai Chi that you like? Is it just a matter of the meditation and the breathing?
I like it because it's like dance. It's it's both mental and physical.
Rhythmic.
You know? Yeah, I like it. It's good.
Very cool. Yeah, because it's surprising because Tammy had mentioned, as did our friend out in the audience, that you like coming here and
right, and I love the author series. It's also great.
Yeah, well, you're going to be here. There's not a date as yet scheduled, but I'm hearing that
right.
It's going to be when it's warmer and it's not going to be wet.
Right.
That you're actually going to be promoting
right.
your new book, which is days from hitting the shelves. Ma Speaks Up.
Ma Speaks Up.
Sounds
yeah.
like it sounds like an Italian.
Well, it says, "And a first generation daughter talks back," mainly because That's what I said in confession every week I talk back to my mother. So that's why it's the title. But my mother actually asked me to write a book about herself when she was alive. You know, she died 12 years ago. But, you know, she had this story. When you're an immigrant, and my mother came here to escape fascism and an arranged marriage, it seems so strange now to talk about that. But she kept, you know, when you're an immigrant, you get to reinvent yourself when you come here. And there was a secret that she kept that is revealed in the book that I finally found out when she was about 80 years old through devious methods, I found out. And she said, okay, I'll tell you my story. Maybe someday you'll write a book. And I did. So, you know.
You've written two really personal books.
Right, this is a memoir.
What's it like? I mean, it's...
I like nonfiction because I get my fiction Jones from acting. And okay. And when I write essay and I write nonfiction.
Right.
I like using my own voice. And, you know, fiction, I guess acting is that part.
How long did it take you to write this book?
This one I wrote, several of the chapters have been published already in literary journals. That I sent out, you know, Post Road published one called Ma Picks a Priest, and another one called The Official Story, which is the opening chapter. So, yeah, and then Beacon Press picked it up, and they're a wonderful publishing house. They've been around for 200 years.
Sure.
They're terrific.
Now, is there a process? Now, did you have to go through the process in order for a publisher to want to say, okay, yeah, we want your story? How does that...
Well, I have a really good agent, Colleen Mohide, from the Doe Coover Agency, and I guess it was easier. You know, it has been easy, frankly, for the nonfiction. The Jessie book, I remember her saying, well, you know, it was nonlinear, and it was... and she said, I'm going to send it out to, you know, 20 publishers of 18... say, no, we'll talk about it being nonlinear, but the fourth publisher picked it up, and that was a big publisher. That was Simon & Schuster, and I had a great experience with that editor, who was a young man.
Wow.
And I said, you know, you don't have kids, and there's no disability in your family, and I'm kind of shocked that you picked this up. But he said, I sit there with my marker, and I go through all these manuscripts, and I can't wait to make a big slash through it. And he said, I got 30 pages into yours, and I realized I hadn't made a mark. So that's what did it. So that was good. So I guess, but what was great, and I tell this to aspiring writers, is how I got my agent is I had written an essay about Jessie that was published in The Globe. And that's how I got my agent, because they look at these essays that you write. You know, and I've written a lot of op-eds and essays. You know.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You're kind of tight with The Globe. I want to say as of recent, to do with something in regards to politics.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you want to drive down that road, if we just want to...
Well, no. I mean, after Donald Trump mocked people with disabilities, my son was quadriplegic and nonverbal. I wrote an essay that said Donald Trump doesn't have a clue about my son.
Right.
Let it be known, when I was on Jim Browdy's show talking about it, he said, didn't you also write one about Barack Obama? I said, yeah, I voted for him, but he punched down. He made a remark about mentally challenged people, and I didn't like it. So I wrote an essay about that. I'm an equal opportunity butt kicker, as I said.
Wow.
So that was that.
Have you thought to maybe do a screenplay on any of the stuff that you've done?
You know, I've sold screenplay, but I'm not produced. I sold a screenplay based on my mentor, who was Mary Somoza. Her daughter spoke at the DNC. She is quadriplegic. She had twins with cerebral palsy and four children. She lived below the poverty line in New York, two wheelchairs, two sets of stairs, and she changed laws. She is my hero, you know. And when we had to fight to get Jessie basically into the schools here, she was the one who helped us. And so I wrote about that, and HBO bought it, and then they dropped it. That happens, you know, because it's a committee. It's not like a book is more one-on-one. When you write something for film, it's like...
It's different.
It's a committee.
Now, I'm sitting here hogging all the time, speaking with Marianne Leone. Come on.
No, I'm just in
awe.
No, don't be in awe. I know.
I read the book that you wrote about,
Jessie,
and I have friends that have
kids that went to school with Jesse. So that was an amazing story to share with everybody. I also, before I came here, worked with kids with disabilities. So I get it. And my friend had a son who was in a similar situation where the school system wasn't really accepting him and that kind of thing. So it was just,
well, now more than ever,
awesome.
We have to talk about inclusion because, you know, with people pushing to privatize the schools, and that will only ghettoize schools for children with disabilities. I'm going to speak at the Mass Poetry Association. I'm going to read one of Jesse's poems, and I'm going to talk about how when he wrote poetry on his computer, he was very specific about what he wanted to say.
Yep.
And right in the middle of his poem, he wrote, "I am sometimes invisible." And
wow.
It's important to know that people with disabilities are sometimes invisible. And I don't want to make it more so, but when he was here at Kingston Elementary, and I was so happy with the public school systems once he got it, because I didn't go to the public school system. I went to Catholic school. So when he went, I was thrilled. The teachers were amazing. He went to Prague. We took him to Prague because Chris was doing the Born Identities. So he kept a journal for the kids. So we ran into trouble at the De Gaulle Airport. He couldn't get, you know, everywhere was just désolé, the elevators don't work, whatever. So Chris finally pushed him onto the escalator. We didn't realize there were barriers at the top. People were screaming. It was like a Three Stooges thing. Jesse was laughing. And the teacher said, "Okay, kids, they want to hold the Olympics. To whom would you write a letter about this?" She made it a letter-writing thing, and she gave us the letters. And these kids wrote letters like, "Dear Mr. Bush, do you know what happened to my friend Jesse?" But they also said stuff like, "What about people with children and strollers? And what about elderly people with walkers and wheelchairs?" So now you've got a bunch of 10-year-olds thinking about community.
Yeah.
So that's what's so important about inclusion, is being with people who learn differently or work differently.
I want to bring in back into the conversation. She was here earlier. Am I correct, Tammy? Marilyn Greenstein wants to... You wanted to ask a question. She wanted to write something down. But she's been part of the show. So we wanted to let Marilyn come back on.
Okay.
And what did you want to ask for a question?
Well, I was just wanted to know, can we hear about some of the stories in here?
Oh, okay. Great.
And you say you're talking back, but I mean, how can you...
Be specific. In here where? Ma speaks up?
In the book.
In the book.
Ma speaks up.
Okay.
So it'd be nice to hear some of that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can... I pulled out a part that's about down here. South Shore, because I used to spend every summer here from the age of 4. That's how we ended up coming back here when we knew that Jesse was ready to start school. My Uncle Benny owned the Kingston Block Company with his brother Johnny, and that's still in existence, and Johnny still is there. And they also owned 13 acres on Kingston Bay,
right.
And it was paradise for a kid, absolute paradise. And I wrote something about how my mother could not compete with my Aunt Ellie because, I mean, look what she was offering. So I'll
do you want
to
share?
Yeah, I'll share.
Please share.
"Honey, I could go for something good." This was Aunt Ellie's signal to Uncle Benny to go for a run to Jay's Drive-In before the Late Late movie began. That meant big, greasy, delicious onion rings to go along with Betty Davis on television and staying up as late as I wanted. I was 8 years old and spending the whole summer with my aunt and uncle like I had every year since I was 4. When I was at home with Ma during the school year, the nagging about bedtime began around 7:30 while it was still light outside. Why couldn't I just live here forever with my aunt and uncle? I often felt a pang of disloyalty to Ma and Daddy when the thought crossed my mind, but it always passed with the arrival of the onion rings. The only time I was ever involved in a love triangle, it was chaste but passionate, and it lasted for years. The threesome was composed of my Aunt Ellie, my mother, and me. I had two mothers and no contest as to the winner of my affections. Ellie always won. How could she not? She was summer personified. The beach, staying up late, the drive-in, the July 4th bonfire, all taking place in a dreamlike setting of fun and salt and laughter in a place that was actually called Holiday Shores. When I bounded giddily into the back seat of Aunt Ellie and Uncle Benny's car, it was always the first Sunday Sunday after the end of the school year. I was going to live with them in their house by the sea for the whole summer and hope that summer would never end. I would see my father and mother only on weekends when they and about 30 other friends drove down from Boston, our Boston suburb, in a caravan of Chevys to spend the day at Holiday Shores. And Ellie and Uncle Benny shared 13 acres of land, a bayside rocky beach, and a 200-year-old house with Uncle Benny's younger brother, Johnny, and his wife, Camille, who lived downstairs. There was a big empty field beside their house on Main Street, and on it was a huge billboard advertising Holiday Shores.
A little bit of a round of applause here. That, of course, Marianne Leone sharing a little bit of an excerpt from Ma Speaks Up. I can hear how giddy you are when you're kind of reading that, and you think back to the days. Oh. I mean, times have changed so much. Right. And knowing that you were getting out of the restraints of your mom, I mean, you go. It was like, you know, you.
I mean, the kid next door had a treehouse. I'd only read about those, you know.
You got a treehouse? No,
an actual treehouse. So it was truly, you know, it was just a dreamlike setting for me. But I also write about coming from the lake, from Nonantum, which is Newton, right outside of
Boston. Tachis of Nonantum.
The Tachis, you have the same. Yes. And that place is a wondrous place because everybody is from the same tiny village in Italy, which is really interesting. And they still paint the Italian flag down the main drag, and they carry the Madonna down the street. Yep. And
it's a big thing.
It's
really
huge.
Is.
They even have their own language. I mean, they had their own wise guy, Fat Pellegrini. My dad owned a bar on the main drag.
See, I heard stories. We're kind of delving off into our own little land here. But my family lived up in Newton. They
That's
came
right.
over in,
down the street from mine.
Down the street, exactly, California Street. And I heard stories, and I don't know how true they are. Maybe you heard them about how they back in the day. We look at how the immigrant population, how immigrant on immigrant, but back in the day. Back when my family came over from Italy, that it was the Italians and the Irish fighting it out for
that's
supremacy
right.
as immigrants.
Well, that's why I get mad when I look at racism coming from Italian Americans today, when I think that it wasn't that long ago that we were the other.
That's right. And that my Uncle John or Giovanni, when he came over here back
right.
in the day, walked out that there was this thing where, you know, the Irish would treat the Italians
right,
a certain
that's
way.
That's right. But of course then they all intermarried, so there were so many kids with names like Maureen Tedesco.
Kevin.
You know. So.
Kevin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so that kind of changed
you
things.
Know, yeah, you're spot on there. But that there was a point where our Italian ancestors living up in Newton shook their fist at being treated a certain way and you know, walked down the streets with, I guess, I don't know if it was pickaxes or sticks or whatever,
right.
we're ready to
right.
you know, go to war because
right.
they were tired of being treated a certain way.
Right, right. Yeah, that discrimination went on for some time, but then, you know, they all got to work and did their thing. They bonded together, but, you know, that's still going on. Next door, a Pakistani Muslim family moved in to a family that had been an Italian-American family, and my mother, I remember, was very kind to them and said, I remember what it was like to come here and to feel strange. So it was kind of beautiful. The only place she didn't ease up was food. She was like, they can eat my food, but I'm not eating theirs. She basically thought her meatballs were superior, and she couldn't understand why they wouldn't eat pork.
But how much while you were writing that, though, I mean, how much were you more or less kind of reminiscing and reliving?
Oh, it was terrific.
And
yeah,
you know what I mean? And
that's what I like about memoirs, the time you get to spend with the people you love, you know?
See, so I think that would be perfect as something that would be a screenplay or something that could be written. Am I putting the card up before the horse?
Don't put the Malocchio on it because there are people looking at it now.
I see it as a one-person show.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I can do my mother. Believe me, her accent was very strange Italian Boston. But
great combination. So,
yeah, she was hilarious. My mother was, I'm first generation, which was unusual. Everybody else was second or third.
Yep.
So my mother was the old school and. I definitely we didn't get along the entire time when I was a kid, but then later I came to appreciate her.
Now, do you feel that if she was to read this, would do her proud?
I think she'd like it. I said in the beginning that she would prefer a treacly bonbon kind of book with, you know, with Connie Francis singing Mama, but that's not totally what she got because I was honest about what a horrible kid I was.
I think we're all horrible kids at one point or another, depending on who you are. I mean, depending on when you grew
up. But I think she'd like it. I mean, I know she was very happy. You know, even though she tortured me when I was coming up because she thought I was weird the way I read all the time. I was a geeky kid. But
nothing wrong with that.
She didn't like it. But when I did The Sopranos, she would go around with my picture and be like, "You watched The Sopranos?" And then she'd like show people my picture. You know, so she really liked that.
So what happens now? So when do we start seeing the book out on?
Well, this book launches April 25th. And then so in May you should start seeing it, in bookstores.
And so you go on tour?
Yeah, I'm mostly going to do New York and Boston because here's the weird thing. The Jesse book is being published in Italy.
How awesome is that?
And it's great, but it's in April.
Oh, wow.
And my husband is in a Broadway play that's opening in April.
Oh. Yeah, so what's that play?
It's, do you know the Henrik Ibsen, A Doll's House?
No.
Yes, everybody read that in high school.
Thank you.
Well, this is 15 years after Nora Slams the Door. It's a new play, and it's Chris and Laurie Metcalf. Okay. And it's pretty perfect for the zeitgeist today, the way things are. So it should be interesting.
Now, has Chris had a chance to look at the book?
We were talking about that today. He was saying, "I want you to read my play." I said, "Yes, I will, but I'm busy going over somebody's script for them, an Italian friend. I was making it more English, the English more perfect." And I said, "I notice you haven't read the arc yet." So there was a little banter of that going back and forth.
Great.
What else is going on in your life that you want to share with us while we have you for a couple of more moments here? Anything else that Marianne Leone is working on, or if they want to follow you? No, come on.
Well, I mean, I'm on
Facebook. Other than coming here to the Tai Chi
I am on Facebook, Marianne Leone author. You know, I had a website. I think I'm just going to do Facebook Marianne Leone author because this, unless I have a 12-year-old kidnapped and in my house to read, I do not know how to embed new articles that I write or whatever. And but the Facebook is easier to do. And it's open to all, the author page. So, and I do post on that pretty regularly when I write stuff.
Are you finding folks being receptive on social media?
Yeah,
with the stuff that you're posting?
I went on Twitter. I didn't want to, but they actually say you have to. Mm-hmm. I have a publicity meeting with Beacon this week, and they want you to do all that stuff. I don't want to do too much, and I don't write for free.
Nor should you.
Yeah.
You're a fantastic
writer.
Well,
they want writers to do that, have a blog and blah, 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 Yeah.
Marilyn?
Are you interested in teaching?
No.
Writing?
Oh. I don't think I'd be a great teacher. I don't. I just don't. No. I want to just deal with this book and, and basically go. I'm studying Italian. My Italian's terrible, but I want to be able to speak Italian when I get to Italy and promote the Jesse book. Mm-hmm. And I know. But I was forced into it 3 years ago. I went to the Capri Film Festival, and Chris was being, interviewed in English, and then they turned to me and they said, "Signora, questa è la moglie di Chris Cooper," and I had to speak Italian. I sounded like an upright 5-year-old, but I did speak.
You got through it, though.
I got through it, but God knows what I said.
We want to thank you so much for joining us and being a part of this. And folks, please pay attention to the anchor. And how can they find out more in regards to your author series, Marilyn, here at the Kingston Council on Aging, especially when Marianne Leone is front and center?
Well, it starts March 9th with Nathaniel Philbrick.
Great.
That's going to be a big night, opening night. And they can call here at 781-585-0511, and anybody can take the call and give them information. I don't know if we did mention that Dave Wedge from Boston Strong.
You like Dave, don't you? You've already mentioned him three times.
I mentioned him, yeah. Well, he's going to be here.
And a lot of fantastic authors here on the South Shore.
We have the author of a book on the Patriots. So it's going to be a real interesting spring.
Okay.
And so
you mean Jerry Thornton, don't you?
We have Jerry Thornton.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Another friend of mine.
So now that we booked all of Kevin's friends, we're all set.
But, and family, of course, Mary Ann Leone booked
exactly.
her.
So you probably were good. Cousins back like 15.
It's a good
degrees
chance,
of
yes.
separation.
Same village.
So,
but I just want to add that I know we're going out soon.
60 seconds.
It's with people like me. This place reaches out to people like Mary Ann Leone and other people in the community. It's definitely community outreach, and that's why we have success.
Amen. Would you like to say anything in closing, Tammy, being the co-host this evening?
I don't know. I thought that was your job.
No. I'm the
host. I'd just like to thank everybody for coming and taking the time. It's been amazing.
Well, we want to thank Mary Ann for being
me.
Here.
Absolutely.
And we want to thank all our guests. That's it for this episode of Monday Night Talk. Till next week at 6:15 p.m. Have a great evening.